say today on the episode? Oh my God, it's a big one. We talk about the U.S. Men's National Team roster, what players to look out for, who's got a lot to prove, and who stands to gain the most.
Exactly. And we have to talk about promotion relegation. It is happening. 2028 USL. It's real.
It's
folks.
Real. It's real this time.
And
of course, we got Anton Ferdinand, the brother of Rio Ferdinand, talking about West Ham coming to this country to play in the Premier League Summer Series. That and so much more today on the Cooligans. All right, so I've made a decision that it's too dangerous for me to do one thing. Yeah, there's a lot of things, obviously, the list goes on and on.
We're going to need a little bit more context.
Yeah, one, talk back to my wife. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? The list, there's a long list. But I think in particular, there's something that's just, I think it's a little too powerful. I don't want to call it a drug, but it feels a little bit like a drug. And you've used it before. So this is why I want to have this conversation with you. Mm. It's the blackout eye mask.
Okay, to go to sleep.
Oh my God.
You think you shouldn't do this?
So my wife currently started a new job. She's staying because it's the places that she will be sending patients to, the specialty hospitals that she's going to be dealing with, mm-hmm. are in New Jersey. She has been tasked with traveling to all of those in the first 3 days of this week. So she is staying at her mother's house to avoid hitting the traffic back and forth into New York City. So I am sleeping by myself. Okay?
Oh my God.
And let me tell you something.
Are you okay?
Did you know beds were this big? how am I the fat one on such a small real estate of this bed? But that's not what I'm talking about. Right. I set up my alarm to call her at 6 a.m. so she can wake up. Okay. I'll set the two alarms I have. I got my Google, whatever they call it, their version of an Alexa.
Home, yeah.
And then I got my phone, right? I set both of them up to wake her up. And then I set both of them up to wake me up. Okay, mm-hmm. This is yesterday. I could pick up the phone. I call her at 6 a.m. Make sure she's awake. Are you awake? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's a little too bright. So let me put on my eye mask. My wife got me this very fancy
like a
eye
real
mask.
Queen, a
you
real
know what I'm
diva.
Saying? Right, my hair in a bonnet. You know, my nails is dead.
Just a little get ready with me with Alexis Guerrero.
GRWM.
Okay, we got the spelling.
Right, we'll get there already. You know what I mean? Acronyms, not a strong suit. Here's the problem. Put that bad boy on, and my brain said, oh, we hibernating. I woke up at 11 a.m. I set my alarm for 8. I don't know what happened to those alarms.
What time did you go to sleep?
I went to bed at like 1.
Okay.
Right? But I woke up.
1 to 6 and then 6 to 11. It is pretty wild, yeah.
That's not, I was, by the way, when I woke up, I drooled out of.
I mean, did this.
Every side of my mouth.
Did this sleep mask roofie you? Why are you sleeping so long?
This is what I'm saying. It's too strong. I think so. The light naturally getting brighter and brighter in my eyes is part of your circadian rhythm. I think that kind of wakes me up.
All right.
But I blocked that out. My brain's like, it's 2 a.m., baby. We stay in snoozing, bro.
I
blew past my. I shut off both alarms without even remembering.
I haven't slept through an alarm in quite a while.
Well, you got a baby. You don't even have an alarm anymore.
That is the alarm. I don't need a Google Home.
And you got a dog.
My nutmeg sleeps longer than we do.
Some
people are like, oh, the dog started barking because, you know, waking me up. My dog is like, he's not barking till like 1 p.m., you know.
Yeah. The afternoon. Me and your dog. Your dog can come. Does your dog wear an eye mask? One. And two, it could come live with me.
I just saw, weirdly, a TikTok that went viral of a dog that uses an eye mask. And people are like, why are you like pampering this dog so much? But the dog will not go to sleep if the owner doesn't put the sleep mask on.
It's like, you know how birds, you just cover the thing and they automatically go to bed?
Sure. Or like those goats that faint. You know what I mean?
Oh, those are great. That's great. You ever see the dog? Do you ever see the Datsun? Those little hot dogs?
It's not a Datsun. It's a Dachshund.
Oh, sure. I thought that's what the car was named after back in the day. Way back. It's what became Nissan. Honestly, I had no idea those two were those different things. I've called them hot dogs, my schnauzers. I think they're also called. It had the, what's the thing where people fall asleep if they laugh or something? hyper something.
I don't know the condition, but yeah.
Carter, you know what I'm talking about? Like people randomly fall asleep.
Is that why people always sleep at my shows?
Is that a hypochondriac?
No, hypochondriac's like, a person who's afraid of everything. Or who thinks they're sick by everything.
Yeah, that's a hypochondriac.
I don't know. But somebody will let us
know. The dog had it. The dog gets too excited, automatically falls asleep. So there's a video of the dog running around a circle and he got too excited and it just... It like slides to a halt and it's mid REM. All
right. So this is my suggestion. I don't do sleep masks anymore. I used to.
This is why I brought it up to you, because you had a crazy one. You had like a sharper image joint. You know, the one you get it like the Brookstone.
I did not have I don't know. My wife got it. It's a perfect.
No, yours was crazy. You had to charge it. It was wild.
I did not have
it. It had lights, dude. Wheels came out of it. What do you need that for, Carter? You tell me. I've never seen anything like it.
No, that's my flashlight, bro. Anyway.
It's not as good unless you chase it.
Anyway.
Part of the chase is part of it.
I do blackout curtains. Blackout curtains.
So the whole room is a mask.
The whole room is dark. There's a little bit of light that gets in, but it's dark enough and I don't need a sleep mask. Go ahead. Right.
Well, that's good for your neighbors. They don't see you using the rolling flashlight. what a shame for them. They get the free OnlyFans.
With just a couple D batteries.
needs to get 17 D batteries.
Anyway. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cool
Kids. Hey.
My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros, but you already know that.
Okay, exactly. He slept quite well. So he's good to go.
Buddy,
he's refreshed for today's show.
I hit snooze button on life, bro.
Today we got a hot one. Okay. For a second, I was like, where did that sound come from?
It's from this machine, right?
I didn't hear the in it. I just heard the hoot, and I'm like, what is Carter doing? Anyway, we have a hot show today. We have an incredible guest. The one and only, you may know him. A lot of people sometimes may know him as the brother of
he's gonna love this intro.
It's a terrible introduction. I'm just setting because I didn't when before we interviewed him, I was like, are you the brother of Rio Ferdinand?
Well, they look alike. They both play pro, and he's very open about that being his brother. Anton Ferdinand is on the show.
West
Ham legend, now also West Ham ambassador.
Exactly. We're going to be talking about the Premier League Summer
Series. Let me tell you something. This guy puts the ass in ambassador. Oh, my God. All right,
like we said, he's going to love this intro.
We already buried it. What's the point?
I'm just saying because I didn't really start watching the Premier League regularly until about like maybe 12 years ago. So I thought like I knew every character. And every person,
you missed
Rio,
yeah,
very well played in FIFA, and you picked the English national team, and Rio's there. So, but we got to meet. I got to meet the cooler brother. That's how I feel, bro.
100% agree.
So, Anton Ferdinand will be joining us a little bit later to talk about West Ham coming to the States and playing in the Premier League Summer Series. But before we get there. We got to obviously chat some USMNT. The Nations League match against Panama is happening tonight. that's right. There's a lot at stake. So
I like to think so because I'm still holding a little something about the way it went against Panama previous.
Right, in the Copa America.
Uh-huh.
So we have a little bit of...
Greg Berhalter's like, I'm not even watching this time.
Just a little bit of revenge on our minds. Maybe
it's the lick back,
Timothy Weah does not... I don't want him to get a lick back. Uh-huh. I just want him to play the 90 minutes.
Yo, Timmy. Calma, bro.
Tranqui.
we don't need no static on this one, bro.
So we thought we'd preview this game by highlighting a couple things. First of all,
let's talk about roster.
The roster is a little bit different. There've been a couple changes.
Because we did talk about it before, but yeah. They make adjustments for players that are a little injured.
Oh, we saw everybody on YouTube saw the rundown.
Yeah. We're going to have to edit around that. Carter's taking control of the keyboard and the mouse. And let me tell you something. Sometimes it's just Uber Eats on the screen. It's not even what we're supposed to be looking at.
But we're all figuring it out.
Carter, I love Carter. The guy's texting his lady. He's doing whatever the hell he wants during the episode. Forgets he has a microphone. I love it.
So... The changes that happened. So Anthony Robinson, Johnny Cardoso, and Austin Trusty are all out due to injury. They've been replaced with Max Arfston of the Columbus Crew, Brian Gutierrez of the Chicago Fire, and Jack McGlynn of the Houston Dynamo. So the MLS boys, called in to make some replacements. The one thing here, I'm totally fine with these inclusions, but I'm like, no room for Brendan Aaronson here.
Where is Brendan Aaronson? Why isn't he the replacement?
Right, or any Aaronson. The two brothers.
There's a lot of Aaronsons.
Thriving in Europe. And the only thing, because Pochettino was like, hey, it was just a numbers thing. We couldn't call in.
Well, numbers opened up.
Numbers opened up. A spot opened up in the club. You can't get in?
We need eight more players to get injured before Brendan Aaronson gets in.
I see people coming out of the club. Why? Uh-huh. You said there was a max capacity. That's why you didn't let me in.
Is it the shoes? Why am I not in this club right
it's
now?
It's got to be the shoes. Yeah.
You tell me.
So that's a bit of a surprise. But I think, you know, I don't know as far as... You know, Anthony Robinson, yes, you need a defensive replacement.
Yeah,
you
of
understand
course.
That. But then, you know, maybe a little bit of room for Brendan Aaronson would have made sense to me. I don't know. Maybe he was just like, you didn't call me the first time. I'm not going.
Could be. Or also, you know, a lot of times the coach has to kind of give a little bit of a nod to the manager that deals with the player in the club. In the club system, and maybe the guy's like, hey, man, we really need this player. Don't call him up right now. Or, you know what? I don't think it would be best if he stuck around and trained with us. Maybe not take that time away. Maybe they're going to do something during this off this break.
All speculation.
There could be a good reason for it.
I imagine.
But it's a mystery.
Yeah, well, I imagine Brendan Aaronson is not happy.
I don't think I would be either.
So that's my best guess. But we should... look forward and say, especially in this game against Panama, obviously if they win, they play in the final on Sunday, or if they lose, they play obviously in the third
place. They should be
game.
In the final on Sunday.
They should be in the final.
We've said this before. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but with the talent that we have, we should be absolutely beating Panama. Not easily, but we should beat them.
So we should look at what players do we want to be on the lookout for? What is the player to watch? And you can go first.
All right. For me, my player to watch on this roster is Tanner Tessman.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because previous generation, right, under Greg Berhalter, there were a lot of questions as to what was wanted, what was needed out of the defensive midfielder position. You have your Tyler Adams that can play that role but can also kind of get further forward but have the athleticism to get back and they put themselves in the right position. They have the soccer IQ, if you will, to put themselves back in a good position, and they're a dog. Tyler Adams, dog. Tanner Tessman, a different type of player, much more of a pure defensive midfielder, but we've seen him be able to shuttle the ball forward a bit better. We've seen him add stability where under Tyler Adams, that's not necessarily his glowing point. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's not necessarily the reason you go to a Tyler Adams. It's because of all the other intangibles he brings. Versus Tanner Tessman's like, bro, you put me in that position, I'm going to show you I can just do that position, but I'm going to do it really well, and I'm going to be able to advance the ball in other positions and make smart, calm passes.
Interesting. I wouldn't, just to push back a little, I wouldn't call Tanner Tessman a pure defensive midfielder. The way I interpret his game, I sort of interpret his game as, yes, I think he is very good at control, kind of Keaton Parks-ish. Bigger frame, control the game, good in possession. Like, he's a big dude, and probably you, as Americans, the way we sort of, where we think the big guy, the fat guy goes in goal or whatever. If
why? How the hell did I catch this?
Not you. You know what I mean? You can't play anywhere. Don't.
We're not comfortable with you in the stands.
But I sort of think of him as a Virgil van Dijk type of
always in the right position, which I like. I don't think he's box to box, but he has that capability.
Right.
But to me, he's a central midfielder, and there's not that many central midfielders on this team. Yudis Musa could be, but we hide him off on the wing. That's usually not a good sign.
But that's fair. Do I think Tanner Tessman is going to start? I don't think that.
And I don't, but I think if he gets a chance to play, I think people are going to, again, like the last time he played, go, oh, wow, the team plays differently when he's there. And I think we don't know exactly what Pochettino wants because we really haven't seen Tyler Adams enough under Pochettino.
And I'll piggyback off that because my player to watch is Tyler Adams.
I was doing it on purpose, by the way, folks.
Tyler Adams.
We learned how to do this podcast thing.
This is the first time he's going to be playing. He's called into a camp, not injured, and playing for Mauricio Pochettino. He's been fantastic at Bournemouth. I think he starts.
He's incredible. He's healthy.
Healthy. I think he's going to be excited to be on the pitch and back with his U.S. men's national team teammates. So I'm just excited to see him play because I think he's going to be entertaining and fun. And again, another player that wants to get back at Panama after that Copa America result.
And so, I don't want to say that I think Tanner Tesman should start over Tyler Adams. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if he gets that opportunity, I think he's going to show something a little different than we've been able to see before. He's also just matured. He's gotten so much better.
Sure, he's getting minutes at Lyon. It's great to see. Next up.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, since you asked mine, I'm going to ask you, what USMNT player in this roster has the most to prove?
I get this is an easy one for me, especially when it comes to something to prove. Gio Reyna.
Oh.
Not only does he have this, this is also another player, first time playing for Mauricio Pochettino. He has to prove stuff to Pochettino.
Everybody.
He has to prove stuff to every single sporting director, GM, coach in the world to give him an opportunity, because this is... something's happening at Dortmund and it's all up and down, and we don't know sort of whose fault it is. And yes, it could be Gio. We've heard, you know, we know what happened at the World Cup and his attitude, and I'm hoping he has matured. I'm hoping it's just a matter of, like, he needs to get touches.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't really do that at Dortmund that much. He gets some time, you know.
I have a little bit of an argument against the word can. He can, and he should be. He's at that level. We've seen it when he comes in. Just what is it about him that doesn't get him on that team sheet week in and week out? And I'm a little uncomfortable with using the men's national team as your way of showcasing yourself to get in a better club. It should be the other way around.
It should be.
But he is that much of a rare talent that I'm okay with it, as much as I wish it wasn't that way. So I completely agree with
you. He plays in these two games and he plays well. I think this could change the trajectory of his career in the next, like, 2 years.
It should.
The World Cup is coming up. He needs to, in September of this year, he needs to be at a club that he's starting.
Uh-huh. Everything that I just said, I'm now going to look like I'm flip-flopping, because my choice is Matt Turner, who I think has to do exactly what you said, but on a different scale. It's for goalkeeper. But also, I think the focus of his what he has to prove is to not just Pochettino, but to all of us that, yo, you deserve to be the guy over a Zach Steffen who's playing. Yeah. And I think we've said this before. You want players to be playing at the highest level possible. And yes, Europe right now, for the most part, the big five are at a higher level than MLS. We all agree. I think for goalkeeper, that's not necessarily the case. I don't think it's as much the case as it is for players that play in the outfield, you know, especially attacking players. I think for a goalkeeper, I'm okay if you're an MLS goalkeeper and you're really that good. And I'm also okay with saying a European team wants them. But if you're going to go to Europe, you got to start. You got to find a way to start. Matt Turner hasn't started in a very long time. Sure. You got to get minutes. But are you still the number one? You've got to prove that. Shine in these moments and show that the lack of minutes hasn't stopped you from being that sharp guy that we've seen in the past. And then I'm cool with you being there. If not, Zach or Schulte, or maybe even a Matt Fries if he gets an opportunity in the future.
Tim Howard was talking about this, and he said Zach Steffen is the number one in his eyes, which is
maybe they're just trying to give views on their podcast.
Just a random Tim Howard hot take.
Yeah. You know? They like to throw those out every once in a while.
Let's
do it real quick. Yeah. What
real
about
quick,
most of the game?
Most of the game for me, Diego Luna.
Woo!
He has even a good 30 minutes. I think this is we can start having conversations about him maybe even being at the World Cup.
Don't break the nose. For me, Patrick Ajimang. You know what? I got a feeling that come World Cup, he's going to be a little higher on the list than a lot of us thought he would be.
We shall see. All right. Okay.
If you agree or disagree, let us know.
As far as I suppose, who has most to gain? There's a lot of new faces here that'll be interesting if they thrive. All right. Obviously, the game is tonight against Panama, so we'll be watching that for sure. And then, so let's take a quick break. We have to talk Pro Rel because we also have the news about USL. And, you know, maybe are the Pro Rel shooters going to calm down now? We shall see.
I hit both those buttons by mistake. Anything can happen.
We'll be right back after this.
Huge news, Christian. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is big. USL has finally voted. They ratified it. This is official. They will be bringing Pro Rel to U.S. soccer for the first time in history across their three leagues, their three tiers for the 2027-2028 season. Mm-hmm. This is it. It's official. For 10 years, we've done this show. We've always been talking about Pro Rel. It's about to happen.
Right.
Here's the question. How important is this to soccer in America on a scale of 1 to 10? Just give me a number.
I'm going to say 6.
I'm going to say 9. Okay, your number is lower. So I need you to explain to me why it's a six.
So you're asking the question of how important is it to American soccer than
to soccer in America.
To soccer in America. Then I'm starting to think about how important is it to the sustainability of soccer in America, to the growth of soccer in America, things like that. And so that's why my number is a little low.
But hold on. What do you mean? The sustainability of soccer and the growth of soccer. You don't think this is a bit of a turbo boost to that?
Pro-rel, I think, is a factor in the sustainability and the growth. Yes. But I guess sustainability and growth are two different things. So I don't want to really pair those things together.
You can talk about them separately, sure.
MLS has shown that they can sustain themselves, whether you agree with that system or not. And I'm not arguing that, you know, that Pro-Rel is bad or that Pro-Rel is good or anything like that in relation to how important it is for American soccer as a whole. Do I want it? Yes. So I just, in case anybody thinks I'm like, supporting MLS too hard or whatever.
Capitalist pig.
So that's why the importance of it. So the things that my concern, this is really my main concern about it. I've been seeing sort of taking the temperature, and a lot of journalists also kind of feel the same way I feel. It's like, all right, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's first and foremost because we've been talking about this for so long.
We've been promised a lot of things.
Yeah, Rocco Camiso tried to sue so he could do it. Yeah.
So that's one part. But then the other part is there is my concern is like that there will be now two Division I soccer leagues, right? There's going to be Division I, USL
How
Division
I. How does that
I.
hurt the sustainability and or the
I'm growth? Not saying it hurts. I'm not saying it. I'm not really saying that. I'm just thinking it's just not how well the other countries do it and how the other leagues work and the other football pyramids work. So I'm just like, this is going to be something new for on a global level that there's going to be, if it's like a Premier League and Super Premier League and you can choose which one to watch or what and whatever. That's well, the we're doing that. Let the market decide.
Super Premier League sounds so dope. Like with jetpacks. I get that. And I think the fallacy with what you're saying, which also includes the fallacy of the fear of the owners and the fallacy of the fear of a lot of the fans, is this idea that if one isn't the top, that it dies. And I don't know that's the case. So I had the luxury of going to Louisville for Louisville City versus Indy 11. And what I saw was two sustainable clubs that were both talking about stadiums that they wanted to build, Louisville already having theirs, mm-hmm. with, I can't remember the name. It's like the Mann family, maybe? A Lynn family stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this thing is gorgeous. 14,000 seats. It's jammed. They basically sell it out for every game. The city's behind it. Everyone knows what Louisville City is. A lot of Cubans living in that city. Cubans typically don't really care about soccer. They all know what it is. They all think it's awesome. Everyone I talked to said it was great. They're surviving in the second division. It's sustainable. I don't know if they make a profit or whatever, but it's sustainable. And I think that's important.
They do not make a profit.
You don't know that.
Most teams don't.
Hold on. USL makes most of the money that they make is through the gates. And they've not only, they built a stadium. They're able to pay the players. No one's like in other countries where players don't get paid sometimes. Everyone gets paid.
No, it's not like that. I'm not saying they're broke or that making nothing, but
they have their training center is top notch. Like would be first division in any country in any world. They have a separate mirrored system for the women. They're not even forcing them to train in the same spots. Like, all right, you guys go later. You go, hold on. I'm saying all that to say this. They're not in the top division. They're barely on television. They just got on CBS. And before that, they were on like ESPN3. You had to go find it. They're able to survive there. That would be the punishment of dropping out of the top division, and they've already proven they could survive there. In an argument beyond that is Detroit City FC. And again, these are two clubs that have kind of figured it out.
Yeah,
but their show me a model, they were the first lower division team to make revenues of over $1 million. We're talking about Detroit City. They don't have, like, this team wasn't around for 80 years. They just started not that long ago. And look at what they've been able to build. And they weren't even in the second division. For a long time, they were semi-pro. What I'm saying is there's ways to be in those lower divisions and survive. Yes, you'll make money than you will at the top. So there is a loss. There is a danger, right? That parachute payment needs to be sufficient. But you can survive in the lower leagues and make enough money to keep going. The guy from Foursquare, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. When he had Kingston Brigade, he proved, he was showing you on paper, like, look, it's not easy, but you could break even. Yeah, and he's like, I'm not even doing as much as I can, and I'm breaking even.
Kingston Stockade, not Brigade.
Sorry, Kingston Stockade. Great. Yeah. Sorry about that. Brigade sounds better now that we're thinking about it. Would have been maybe still been around. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it is, by the way. I think he sold it. But I think what this shows is that the fear of, like, you go down to the second division, all of a sudden it's like cobwebs and, you know, no one cares about you anymore. Let me explain where I'm going. The reason I gave it a 9 is already I've seen friends of mine, people that we've met in this business that are much higher power players than we'll ever be, already talking about, like, hey, maybe we should start our fourth division team, or maybe mm-hmm. we should. I was like, whoa, you guys are already doing this? Like, bro, you no longer have to walk in and say, all right, we need the facilities of a USL championship team, and we need the revenues and the players and our academy. You don't need that just yet. You can start in the fourth division, and as you go up, and I understand facilities, there, like, and certainly
there's going to be standards, obviously, absolutely. If you get promoted.
When I was in Spain, we went to Alicante, and Alicante FC, or Hercules. Hercules had beaten Barcelona, and they had a parade. They beat them in the Copa del Rey that year or something, or the year before I got there. They literally had a parade because it was the greatest day in Alicante FC's, you know, whatever, in Alicante's life. And I said, like, how come they haven't gotten, there's another team, Alicante FC. How come they've stayed low? Like, nobody cares about it? He's like, no, they've actually gotten promoted a couple times, but they can't promote because they don't have enough, the facilities don't meet the standard of the next division. So there's already a prerequisite set where, if your facilities or whatever the number is, maybe it's the value of the ownership or whatever doesn't hit that, you can't get promoted. You need to work on that next year. Here's payment. You won. Now go work on that, which is, I'm fine with that. What I'm saying is this lays the groundwork for people to now be able to start at the bottom and go up. As a joke, we used to say, like, oh, imagine Cooligans FC rises all the way to the ranks, NYC footy. That's actually a possibility now. You can start something and build something organic, and in 10, 20, 30 years, you could be the next Luton, you could be the next Leicester, you could be those things. That's now a possibility here. You don't have to go out $500 million for San Diego. What was that number going to be? 10 years ago when we started this because New York City got into MLS. They paid $150 million. We used to, like, $100 million for an MLS team. These guys lose $100 million every year. It's $500 million. That idea... If people who really believe MLS is a Ponzi scheme or whatever, and that the only growth they've shown is through acquiring new clubs and they can't keep going, that's done. That now we get to a point where a team can build up through the ranks. This, I think, ushers in a new era. You've got academies. You've got players. Dude, Americans are so filled with so much athletic talent. You know, we've met guys like Mike Gartland who run Pro Sport Management and other agents. And we've seen, like, the Wasserman Group take these kids that from places we would have never guessed, and they end up in Europe. And now all of a sudden these guys are getting on the national team, and men and women. This ushers in that opportunity now for some of these smaller clubs to continue to find talent and continue to develop talent in these smaller cities. I think this is huge.
I do think it's huge.
Do you hate America, bro?
Sometimes.
I meant to hit the ego, by the way.
By the way,
so do I. Sometimes.
I think it's you're looking at it through very rose colored glasses, and
I think you're looking at it through the opposite of rose.
But you're also looking. You're speaking about something. That, like, we have the system in place already. We see it in Europe, and it doesn't work as beautifully as you are describing. There are lots of negatives that are currently happening. So that
nothing positive comes without a couple negatives.
I'm just saying it's like you saying
even after a blowjob you got to clean up. You know what I mean? Like there's sometimes negatives.
That's what I was thinking. You took the words out of my mouth, Alexis.
And what else? All right, folks.
So I get. I mean, I wanted to thrive. Yes. Do I wish there wasn't two competing leagues?
Give me a negative. I'm not saying there aren't, but give me one.
Obviously, clubs folding. Clubs are going to fold.
How many clubs have folded? Like, look at Bordeaux. Bordeaux and Bordeaux Girondins, I believe it was called, the one in France.
Right.
They folded No, they said we're not pro anymore. We're amateur. They can't get back to that. Someone could buy them tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not positive. I'm saying, that's a negative. Like,
but what I'm saying is they didn't poof and go away.
All right. Yeah, but clubs do fold. I mean, it's not like it's...
Not that many. But, more but, American
but
clubs
But I'm not making
folded.
The argument like I'm an owner who's saying I don't want... I'm just saying you are just talking about every single perfect scenario and it works out perfectly.
I'm giving you and what the like, possibility bro, could be.
There's
yes.
there's so... There's
But more American clubs in our system
There's
going to
be so much
the
failure.
Europe.
There's going to be so many teams that are... fans are going to be like, damn, my team folded and it's gonna I think it's gonna happen quite a bit.
That's happening now in America at a higher rate than in Europe.
And then so say right
so then maybe you just drop down a division and that's the best you can do.
I'm not hoping any of that happens. I'm just saying it will just because it already happens. We already have a model where it already happens.
But what I'm saying is now you don't fold, you go down a division and maybe that's a bit more sustainable for your club and you stay there.
Yes, you will. Teams will get relegated and teams will also fold. That's just a reality.
But now without promotion regulation, teams are folding. So I think that argument is moot.
I disagree. I'm just saying that this is, it could be if the infrastructure is not in place and USL has a lot of responsibility to, again, get a bigger TV contract and you hope with the interest of promotion relegation.
And the World Cup bounce. Now, this is all in an effort to maximize.
I hope it works out.
The World Cup bounce.
I'm going to watch. I hope it works out.
Can I give you another positive?
Your show.
Okay. This is a positive for USL's decision. MLS is moving to a fall spring schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're the only soccer in the summer.
Okay.
Men's soccer in the summer.
Right.
Think about that.
Oh, I'm thinking.
All right. So now even if you're an MLS fan, you could pick up. You can pick up a USL team. Are you thinking though? You can pick up a USL team to watch and be a part of this. You can maybe go to, if you live near a secondary city, maybe you already have St. Louis. Maybe you're a big St. Louis City SC fan. Maybe you pick up another team near there that's in the USL system as your secondary team. And you're like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do in the summer. I'm going to root for this team.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you've kind of removed all competition. And by the way, I think all soccer should be played in fall spring schedule. And I know how difficult that is for some of the teams closer to Siberians, you know, winters, mm-hmm. Minnesota in particular. I think we can figure out a way to do it. What I'm simply saying is they've sort of, everything got cleared out of the way for them to be able to step forward and be the summer soccer draw outside of these major clubs coming to the U.S. for tours. This could be the major U.S. the American soccer draw. And now MLS isn't in their way.
True. I think there's a lot of possibility of it succeeding. And more than anything, and you can see if you look at the article on The Athletic that Paul Tenorio wrote about it, you could just sort of once you see the commentary from people, and people are sort of all over the place. Some people are like, this is great. Some people are like, this is dumb. I'm not going to watch this because why would I watch these amateur players or these like just
because they don't know what they're talking
they
about.
They don't know. Yeah. But that
the sentiment's real.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like the customer is just, they're not even going to tune in. They're like, this is not MLS and this is lower quality soccer. So I'm not going to watch it. And that's just something that they're going to have to compete with. But I think all of
that you would assume that person's already not watching USL, right? And USL is surviving. I don't know about thriving, but they're surviving
mm-hmm.
without them already. I think this brings more people in the door. And let's get to our last point, which is creating a new division for new Division One USL. I actually think we should change that question because I think USL now needs to be considered as a whole, right? As a whole, and added, knowing they're also going to create a Division One league that some of these major clubs are going to be able to sort of play in. Do you think this competes with MLS? And I think for this, we should think in a post-World Cup world. Because let's go from 2027 on. Does this compete with MLS?
It does compete with MLS. And I was going to make this point earlier, but it's really just about the players. Are they going to put up the money to get really good players? If they have a competitive first division, they're going to have to... It's going to have to mimic the quality of players that MLS has. And that's going to be an owner investment. So I'm curious to see... Is USL going to maintain a salary cap? Are they going to do a financial fair play thing? How are they going to attract the talent? Because nobody's going to watch. Promotion and relegation is lovely, but if you don't have talent to showcase that league, nobody's going to really watch. And outside of the local and regional part of the country that would care about that team, outside of that, so. It's just, to me, it's just going to be, Are they going to splash the cash to get players? There's a finite amount of talent. Are they going to be able to outcompete MLS to get them there? Is a player going to say, I'd rather go to USL and maybe take less money or maybe the same amount of money? Or should I go to MLS? How is it going to be in the transfer market? Is the MLS team going to be able to move me to a European club? Is the quality of play going to be higher? Am I going to get call-ups? If I pick USL, am I going to get call-ups to the national team? These are all things that are going to take time to develop. But that's as far as competition, that's the first thing. Are they going to be able to attract players over MLS?
I think what you're thinking about is probably step 8. And I think in order to compete with MLS, I don't think you need the level of European or superstar players or South American superstar players to come to this league. I think what you need is to build a strong enough fan base through the gates. And then after that, a strong enough TV. Because I think the argument can be made that MLS has done, even with these big players, has done nothing to grow or hasn't done enough to grow the television viewership. So I think if you kind of view as that as the ceiling, I think USL already stands a chance to match that, to be completely honest with you. I think what you're talking about is can you get beyond that? Can you get beyond what people watch of your international leagues in this country, but Mexican, internet, Premier League, South Americans, can you beat that in this country? I think that comes next. I think USL stands a better chance of being the league with American and Canadian players in it that grow. And then maybe some of those bigger names, maybe it's part through ownership or whatever, that they go and acquire some big names, maybe. But I think for the most part, if they're the league that sells players to Europe, I think they can be just as big as MLS is currently right now. Where MLS will beat them is probably on social media engagement and social media numbers, because they have a guy like Messi and because they have big enough names like a Suarez and a Busquets and players that people are kind of searching for. If Insigne was still in the league, maybe he's someone that draws a couple more eyes. But I think for the most part, I don't think you need to spend on big name players right now in order to win, because I don't think MLS is doing that, and I don't think they're winning. Do you get what I'm saying?
If you're just, we're only talking about MLS and USL.
MLS is the biggest. So can you compete with them? I don't think you need a Messi-like player in order to compete with MLS. Maybe on social media, but not on TV.
I 100% disagree, because people don't. I mean, even now, almost any American, we were talking to, we had Lola Labonte on the show. She was saying, hey, I wish people cared more about the clubs as opposed to the individual players. And this happens in almost every sport. NBA, we tune into the Lakers because LeBron is there and Luka's there.
Mm-hmm.
More than specific.
But that's how the world is right now. But I don't think at the level where USL are at, where they're in smaller cities that are building community clubs. I don't think you need the big name player to drop in there in order to beat MLS, other than in social media. I think TV.
I think you need the big name player to compete with MLS, to beat MLS.
I think they've proved, look, they have, they're a second division, and they did nearly 500,000 viewers for their final on CBS on an app that's not that easy to find, right? I think that was on TV. That was on TV. But that they did that without any names whatsoever. No one knew the names. Some people didn't even know that were watching, probably even knew the names of the teams. Look at what they were able to do with that. If all of a sudden you add Division One and a little bit more flair and everything else grows, I think you can compete directly with what they're doing on TV now in MLS, outside of Messi. And there's only one Messi.
We're all speculating. But we work in the sport, mm-hmm, so directly. And when you casually are walking around and interacting with people, nobody's bringing up USL. I say that respectfully.
How many people are bringing up MLS?
More than, if it's three people.
Messi's going to play for two more years?
I think it can thrive. I think it can succeed. I'm not saying that, but if you're, again, talking about the competition aspect.
By the way, post-World Cup, which is what I said we were thinking, there's no Messi.
The competition is going to be fierce and difficult, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not just going to be, MLS is totally fine with this competing first division. There's going to be fighting out for players, for TV contracts. It's going to get brutal. So I want it to succeed, but for it to compete against MLS, which is arguably trying to monopolize soccer, and that's what a lot of people get frustrated by. So it's going to be difficult. But my opinion is, they need. I'm not saying they need Messi, but they need a couple big names. If come 2027, the 2027-28 season, they're gonna need something, some name. It can't just be.
I don't know. I don't agree.
The teams are here.
I think they're. I think they're okay not being the top right now, but building towards it. Look, I know we gotta run. We gotta take a break. We have an interview coming up. Real quick, yes or no? Don't add anything else.
I won't add anything.
Yes or no? Does this make MLS eventually go to Pro-Rel?
No.
All right. I think it does. We'll be right back after this. I mean, when we talk about the honor it is to bring some of these names onto this show.
Exactly. And this summer is going to be exciting because the Premier League Summer Series. So we've got a couple Premier League clubs coming through. My Everton. Yeah,
that's right.
It's coming by.
Big names coming through.
But we also got the likes of Manchester United and also West Ham.
So also, friend of the show, Jamie, is going to be going nuts. Chris Italia is going to be going nuts because these two are some of the biggest West Ham fans in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And my wife is probably going to be going nuts because she just loves ice skating. You know what I mean? And we found a way to merge the two here today.
And this is going
to
be fun for me because I also grew up playing hockey. So
here we go.
This is going to be just a mash of all different cultures.
You're probably confused right now. That's because in America, the show doesn't air. But ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only West Ham legend, Anton Ferdinand, everybody.
Anton, what's up, man?
How you doing, man? Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
This is an exciting opportunity for us. And I did mention the Premier League Summer Series and like I said, a bunch of Premier League clubs coming through. You are the ambassador for West Ham, and you're going to be in the States while West Ham is playing here.
In the New York area.
Exactly. MetLife, they're playing in Soldier Field, and they're playing at the Mercedes-Benz Arena. To get some background, have you done ambassadorship before? Have you been to the States? Is this a common role that you're comfortable with?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to do last summer's preseason tour when we went to Tampa in Jacksonville and really had a great time. You know, meeting a lot of West Ham fans, American West Ham fans, you don't always get the opportunity to come to London to watch our fantastic football club, you know, and it makes me understand and realize how actual big West Ham is, you know, when you see the amount of West Ham fans in America, you know, and being a West Ham fan myself, not only being able to play for the football club and be classed as an ambassador and a legend, to go over there and see the love that my football club gets and that I got over there was really, really humbling.
I mean, when you travel around the States and people recognize you, especially when you're at these events, does that feel weird? Because I know a lot of footballers talk about how much they love coming to America because they can kind of be anonymous. But then if you're at one of these football events, you're suddenly no longer anonymous. Does it feel weird in America? Does it take away that sort of benefit?
It does. I used to come to America when I played that to get some freedom. But now coming there and coming to for work and working for West Ham is something different. You go out, you're recognized, but also that's a blessing because we're there to spread the love of West Ham United and show people what West Ham as a football club really is. You know, it's a family orientated club, a club that wants everybody to have a great time, and a club that, as we say over here, is massive.
Yeah, all right. So look, you can get tickets. Tickets are available now for the Premier League Summer Series. So go get them. But I have to talk about this because you are currently on a show that I'm basically just learning about it today because I did not know. We don't have this show here, but there is
apparently it's a big deal because the internet's going crazy about you.
But there's a show called Dancing on Ice, which is pretty straightforward. But they take celebrities and do a dance similar to we have Dancing with the Stars, but you just do this on ice. And as soon as I heard the concept, I'm like, first of all, this is dangerous. I ice skate. I know how I grew up playing hockey. There's no this you. OK, so my first question, did you know how to ice skate before you participated in the show? And then when it comes to, you know, I know how to I know how to defend sort of while I'm ice skating. I don't know how to boogie. I know how to dance. I can't twerk on ice.
Yeah.
What?
You know, funny enough, I can. It's one of the few talents I have.
I can't twerk on ice either.
Okay. Well, you know, you might have won, had you.
So what has this experience been like, and how did you get approached, and then how did it all begin?
Firstly, they approached my team about me coming on Dancing on Ice, and I wasn't going to do it. And then all of a sudden, I said it to my daughter that I might be doing it, and her face and the way she was like, "Dad, you have to do it."
That was your first mistake, bro.
It's the worst thing I could have done was saying to my daughter less like about it. And then when I saw her face, I was like, you know, I have to do it. But do you know what's so great is I'm as a father, and when I mentor to a lot of the players, the young players that are at West Ham, I talk about being outside your comfort zone a lot. Because as we know in life, you're going to be out of your comfort zone at times. And that's perfectly fine, you know. But the only way to make an uncomfortable situation so comfortable so quickly is to work hard. And that's what I've done, was I showed my kids and the young players at West Ham that being out of your comfort zone is fine, but you have to work hard to make that comfortable. And a lot of the skills that I used, I learned at the academy when I was a young player from 9 years old all the way into the first team at 18 and beyond. A lot of the skills that I learned then, I brought into Dancing on Ice, you know, and I think it's
50 balls,
thing.
Headers. Yeah. What are you gonna
do? He two-footed his partner.
shoulder.
In one of the numbers that I'd done, Jason Derulo, I actually had a football on the ice.
Is that where you were wearing like the tech fleece? You were like heading the ball?
Yeah, I was heading the ball. Yeah. So I brought football to the ice. I couldn't ice skate before. I didn't know how to ice skate. I learned in a matter of like 2 months to ice skate and be able to do, it's figure skating. So it's very, very different to ice hockey, as you know. It's a different boot that you wear, different skate that you wear. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And one thing for sure, I'm going to continue skating, man, because I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not sure about dancing on the ice, but it's actually skating. I think I'm going to be doing that.
All right.
We bring it up because West Ham had this huge banner. The players took photos with flags, kind of congratulating you and rooting for you for the final. Did you find that weird that all of a sudden this massive club has this huge banner on the side of the stadium wishing you luck on a dancing competition on ice?
You know what? It just epitomizes what our football club is. You know, I was lucky enough to give many, many years of myself to this football club, and the fan base and the club itself really, really appreciated it. So for them to do that, it epitomizes what I've said about our football club, how it is a family-orientated football club, how we stick together. And if one person needs support or help within our community, we're here for them. You know, and that's no different with me. They were supportive from minute one to when it finished on Sunday. So I'm humbled by it. I appreciate it. And it just shows what my wonderful club is about.
That's beautiful. I just want to say real quick, I messaged a mutual friend of ours, Andrew Mensah, who I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. You've done a bunch of content with him. And I said, yo, talk to me about this dancing on ice. Like, you know, we were getting kind of like, is the final happening? Did it happen already? And he said a bunch of things, but I just want to read this one text because I think this shows like the type of friends we have as well. Mm-hmm. He said, man from South doing ballerina on skates. I thought that was just the most succinct way of being like, I'm not gonna roast you, but I'm gonna roast you a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you speak to him, I'll speak to him as well and say, I'd love to see him on the ice.
I would literally pay just to see that man.
I will tune into the live stream of that.
For those who don't know, from South, you from Peckham.
Yeah.
Peckham, we know. I know Peckham gets referenced a lot in like UK hip hop and grime and garage.
I remember Giggs has a song where he mentions.
Yeah. Giggs is from Peckham as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you, one, who's the best MC from Peckham? And two, who's the best baller MC? Who, like, what MC from Peckham probably has the most footy skills?
The best MC will be Giggs. Like, what he's done for English music and British grime and the culture is fantastic. You know, so you can't look past him. There is
he's starting to pop off out here, too.
They're exactly, and bringing that English feel to America, it like that's what he's done. You know, working with one of the biggest artists in Drake, obviously. But also, I think when it comes to football, his manager's name's Buck. I used to play with his manager. I used to play football with his manager when we was younger. We used to play against each other. He was unreal. How he didn't make it, I don't know. Because he was the best.
But like what, midfielder, striker, defender?
He was an attacking midfielder.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, Andrew said he's going to talk to you about this guy named Buck. So
yeah,
that actually worked out.
It's fascinating. Just the journey, like the mentioning, especially your daughter getting excited about you or being on Dancing on Ice, because like my son is nearly 2 years old. He can only say mama and papa that clearly. So it's not the same exact motivation to do a show like that.
But if he looked at you and said, I want you to be on Dancing on Ice,
like, oh, your first words?
Yeah. What? A request.
No, remarkable. So the one thing, as an Everton man, I just want to mention this. And
We're here to talk about Everton.
Listen, there's
unfortunate stuff that comes up on the podcast all the time.
All I want to say is, Grant Potter, great. I think the future for West Ham, I think it looks very, very positive. But yeah, we just want to say thank you. There we go. I just want to say thank you for returning David Moyes to Everton. Very, very grateful for that.
No problem.
But we turned
our season around.
Anything's better than Sean Dyche. Is there one thing that we talk about this all the time. I'm a massive fan of London. I love going out to London. I spend a lot of time there. We're both stand-up comedians. I think the comedy scene is comparable to New York. Like, you could get as much stage time. So it feels very familiar. It feels like a sister city to New York. But when I'm out there, I'm like, yo, I would really love X. Sometimes, like, bro, there's not many places to get, like, a sandwich. I just miss, like, a sandwich. Or, like, yo, like, bars close really early. I'm a late-night guy. There's things I miss. When you come to the U.S., or specifically, like, a city like New York, what's something you miss, like, from London? Like, what's something that you wish you had?
Pie and mash.
Pie and mash.
Okay.
Yeah, we ain't doing that here.
Got a little proper English.
We ain't not going to do that in America. We like seasoning. We like seasoning in this country, bro. We like flavors.
You put a bit of liquor on it, it's fine. I'm telling you. Bit of vinegar, bit of salt.
By the way, liquor is what? Like a parsley sauce, yeah. Right?
You put that on there, a bit of vinegar.
I just thought you were mentioning like alcohol.
Put Hennessy on it. I would drink it if you put Hennessy on it. I would eat it.
I'm not here to judge other people's cultures.
Yeah, let me get a pie and mash with a little bit of extra Cavassier on top.
What's the dude's name that goes to different cities and eats the meals? I forgot his name on TikTok. He's very Keith Lee. Keith Lee recent. Do you know that guy, Keith Lee? He went to London recently. Yeah.
The potato, you guys do that. You call them jacket potatoes. I think that's like a baked potato.
Yeah.
And they put cheese, beans, refried beans, or Heinz beans,
yeah,
and tuna on a potato.
And he reviewed this meal.
I don't need to eat it to review it. That's ass, bro.
So there's a lot of controversy. Given that you just mentioned pie and mash and all that stuff, like there is as Americans, we have a lot of disdain is not the word, but we're just so...
We have negative connotations of British food because they eat like World War II is still happening.
Yeah, don't understand. So it's interesting that you say that is, you know, it's something so distinct and distinctly English that you would clearly miss when it's something that is so almost gross to us. You know what I mean? But how do you feel about that kind of judgment? Like, defend English food a little bit.
No, everyone, each to their own, you know, and listen, there's foods in America that I wouldn't eat. You know, a lot of the fried stuff that you guys have, I don't particularly like to eat that. You know, I would have done while I was playing, but now I'm retired, I'm in my 40s. It's a no-go for me.
You know? Oh, it's like a health thing.
Exactly. But pie
and mash. Oh, I thought it was like a flavor thing.
Pie and mash is an unbelievable meal getting ready for a football game, I'm telling you. Because it lines the stomach perfectly for all the alcohol that you're about to consume.
You know what? When you're playing in my Sunday league team, we're gonna have this before our game.
I know when you guys were in the bowling ground, there was like a famous pie spot all the fans used to go to before. Would you eat that before you played though? No, it'd be too heavy.
No,
right?
We wouldn't eat that before you played. I'm talking about as a fan going to the game. It's fantastic. Okay. You know,
it's very West Ham
but
thing,
we've got we still have here at the London Stadium. We have a pie mash shop inside the stadium. In the bowling lounge, which before every game, I can't lie, I'm in there.
All right. So here's the promise we will make. One day we will be in London and we're gonna go to a West Ham game. I'm gonna hit you up. You gotta take us to this pie and mash joint inside the stadium.
100%.
I gotta see if it's for real.
100%. A bit of vinegar, a bit some salt on there, you'll be fine, man. I'm telling you, you'll love it.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna bring my own hot sauce just in case.
Bring it if you want, but you ain't gonna need it. I'm telling you.
All right. Fair. Anton, that's fair.
We'll let you go in a second. I do want to ask about just the media landscape now. It's fascinating, especially because your brother is seemingly every week pissing somebody off, right? There's always either something he says, or it's always making news. It's making news over here. Being in New York and trying to understand not just the culture of the different football clubs, but just the media landscape in England.
Every little word you say,
everything you know.
There's like 1,000 articles written about
the media. Obviously they make a big deal of a lot of things, especially with a club like Manchester United. But I'm curious about, you know, do you ever like text your brother once in a while, like, bro, you're making it hot for the Ferdinand family. Like, take it easy.
Sure. Definitely when you've got anything to say about West Ham. When you've got stuff to say about West Ham, the West Ham fans always hit me going, has your brother forgot where he came from? Because he came through the same, he came through the club as well, as a kid as well. And a lot of times, has he forgot where he's come from? I have to text him, Ree, come on, man. Like, you're putting heat on me. I ain't involved in this.
I got to answer for you now.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly,
man.
That. But it's more, I think, he really knows where his bread was buttered. He knew where he came from. He knows where it all started, and he's still got a lot of love for the football club. However, he speaks about Manchester United because that's where he's most successful, and that's what people want him to speak about. You know, but yeah, you want to see the family chat when it's West Ham Man United. It goes off.
I would love to see that.
No, it just in the nature of everything now, with a lot of footballers having their own podcasts and now kind of circumventing having to speak to the press, and now it's like you have to you have ownership over your own voice, but then you have to take a lot more accountability and responsibility for that voice as well.
I'd rather have the ownership of my own voice than taking accountability for yourself than it being the other way around. Like it was when you were athlete, for sure.
All right.
Well, tell Rio to relax, because as we've been speaking, I think a bunch of more people were just sacked at Manchester United. So Jim Ratcliffe could save five more
dollars.
They
took away the vending machine.
Oh, no.
I want to ask you one last question. Look, there's a lot of fans in the U.S. that haven't picked a team. I think every club says, like, oh, the passion and we're a family. Why should somebody pick West Ham over some of the names that maybe you've heard longer?
The Giants, like the Everton Football Club and stuff like that. Right. Yeah.
But like, you know, your United and your Arsenals and cities. It's ridiculous when he speaks, really. This man loves Everton. I feel so sorry for him. But why should somebody pick, if they don't have a Premier League club, tell them why to pick West Ham?
I think picking West Ham, a lot of people that come to games or go to a game and really get to feel what West Ham is about. I mean, you look at a lot of players, especially when I played here, a lot of players came from near and far and from abroad. And a lot of them have left West Ham fans. You know, it grabs you. There's something about our football club that grabs you, you know, and when you're in a stadium watching us, you get to feel it. So I'm urging a lot of the US based people to come and watch West Ham, so they can get a feel, because a lot of our fans will be traveling to come and watch us over in the US. So just get a feel for it and get an understanding and speak to our fan base. You know, and I think with that, it just shows you that the likes of Carlos Tevez, who played for Manchester United, Manchester City, he speaks about his time at West Ham. you know, and that's because of the fan base and the way we are as a football club. And if it can grab people like that and grab people like myself who have been, who didn't grow up in West Ham, but grew up in a different part of London. But the minute I stepped into the football club, I was like, this is for me. This is my home. And I hear a lot of people have that, it has that effect on a lot of people. I think they're the reasons why they should come and see West Ham. And by the way, we're massive. And that's our saying, West Ham are massive. We're massive, you know, and we accommodate everybody.
That's awesome. That. Yeah. And I think there's no sort of better example of that kind of family oriented club aspect as when Mikel Antonio walked out onto the pitch and
just with beautiful
the bubbles and exactly, you know, kind of tears in his eyes and the amount of love and support the fan base was showing him. It was definitely a moving moment for sure.
But if you look at it, it's not even just for first team players. You know, we've had young players who have passed away. One this year, and the whole family got a standing ovation, a clap from the whole crowd because he was part of the academy. You know, Dylan Tombides, who died a few years ago from testicular cancer, he's remembered here every year. It's not just because you're a first team player that you get remembered or you get shown love. If you're associated to West Ham, whether you're a fan, whether you've played, whether you play in the first team or the academy, whether you're part of the women's team, you will get showed love at this football club. And that's what makes our football club unique.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, listen, when you're in town, swing by the studio if you have a chance. Also, we'll take you to the Stand. It's a beautiful restaurant. The owner is a massive West Ham fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Buddy, you're not going to pay for a thing. I'll enjoy it because I also won't pay for anything.
That's we'll show you why you want to take me there, because it's free.
Yeah, 100%. Buddy, I'll find the lookalike if I have to. Yes, I'll show you food that tastes way better than Pie and Mash.
Okay. I better bring my hot sauce for this then.
Amazing. to Anton Ferdinand, thank you so much for joining us. And a reminder to everybody, you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com/PL Summer Series.
It's available right now.
Exactly. Go right now and see some incredible clubs, specifically West Ham. So, Anton, like Alexis said, you're welcome here anytime. And hopefully we get to hang out when you're in New York.
Definitely, man. When I'm in New York, I'd like to come and see you guys, man. It's been a pleasure being on your show. Stop talking about Everton. It's all about West Ham. Okay.
No, well put.
If you do that, we'll be okay. Okay.
Maybe when you're here, we can convert him to a West Ham fan. 100%. We'll get him away from Everton.
100%.
Thank you so much, brother.
No problem. Thank you.
Shout out to Anton Ferdinand, the homie.
I mean, he wants to hang out with us,
don't
bro.
Even I deleted Rio's number from my phone.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I never had it.
So okay.
That's how much I've been waiting
Let
for
me
Anton.
Just block Rio Ferdinand right now, just in yeah. case he tries to contact.
Yo, leave him a voice though. Let us know what we really think about it, bro. We don't want you no more, bro.
But no, that was really cool. And hopefully we can link up with Anton in the future.
Yeah.
Gonna get pizza, do something, bro. Right?
We got to take him to the Stand, bro.
That's right. Hey,
don't forget. Purchase tickets for the Premier League
Summer Series. Yeah. They're available on Ticketmaster. I'm gonna go be watching my Everton.
I think you'll be there.
I'll see because Everton is playing. Who are they playing at MetLife? They're playing, I think, Bournemouth at MetLife. The MetLife game, but maybe I'll go to the Everton West Ham game. It's either gonna be in Chicago or Atlanta. We'll see.
I'm down.
Yeah.
You didn't invite me, but I just invited myself.
Arsenal are not there. You don't want to go.
But I'll go. If we're getting VIP, I'll go. If we're getting suite access.
So it might be possible.
I love Atlanta, man. I hope it's in Atlanta. I also love Chicago.
Yeah, dude. Make sure you subscribe if you have not yet. Subscribe
Hit
on YouTube.
Hit that like button right this moment. In fact, let's all wait for them to do it.
Okay.
Ah, there, how'd that feel?
Felt great, didn't
that
it?
That helps us so much. Just click that little like button.
Exactly. And then hit the bell as well on YouTube.
Priority, like, subscribe, bell.
Exactly. So shout out to everybody listening. If you're listening to the audio of the podcast, just leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can leave a 5-star review on Spotify if that's what you think we deserve. Only if we deserve it, but definitely... we deserve it.
Yeah, I agree.
And follow us on Blue Sky at SoccerCooligans.com on Blue Sky.
And real quick, comment on the favorite thing to eat that you're not eating right now. And don't put your ex.
Your favorite thing to eat that you're not eating right now.
You can't
now.
Eat right now. What? Maybe you don't have access to it or you're far. Maybe it's barbecue in Texas. You know what I mean? Something you're not near or that you can't eat right this moment.
Okay, that'll let us know. That
put it in the comment right now.
That'll let us know that you watch this entire video.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday to obviously talk about the Nations League semifinal and final. And we'll see who it's between U.S., Canada, Mexico. A lot of drama between all those countries right now, politically.
Oh, boy.
So this game's going to get a little chippy.
Yeah. Look, I may be wearing a USA shirt, but I might agree with some of y'all.
Okay. All right. I'm here to register with the Canadian Army.
Just me and Jesse Marsh and you, baby.
All right, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Have a good weekend. Cheers.
Love you guys.